Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Ghirelli, Italy's premier rosary designer, creates beautiful heirloom quality rosaries for every season and celebration. Hundreds of unique rosaries honoring Jesus, Mary, and the saints await you at Ghirelli.com. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living healthcare fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. Introducing the redesigned catholicsingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used catholicsingles.com, and the reimagined catholicsingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, catholicsingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always fell upon, if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Alexis Walkenstein. Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love. Today's guest is Bill Donaghy. Bill is the content and curriculum specialist for the Theology of the Body Institute, as well as one of its instructors and an international speaker. Bill has worked in mission, evangelization, and education for nearly 25 years, with a background in visual arts, philosophy, and systematic theology. He's given talks and retreats to bishops, priests, deacons, consecrated men and women, and the lay faithful in 38 states and 5 countries, and is also the co-author with Chris Stefanik of the RISE 30-Day Challenge for Men program. He and his wife, Rebecca, live just outside of Philadelphia with their 4 children. Bill, welcome to Mary's Touch.
Hi, Alexis. Thanks for having me.
It's so great to finally have you on. When I took on Mary's Touch Radio last year during the year of Fatima, it was really important to me to really open up topics of evangelization that are in alignment with who Our Lady is and just kind of helping men and women in today's culture really be all that we're called to be in the Order of Mary, under the Order of Heaven. And the work that you're doing is so profound. I'm wondering if you could share a little bit how you got involved with Theology of the Body, the Institute, and what really led you to lead people in this way.
Sure. I will do my best, Alexis, to microwave that long story.
Right.
It literally goes back. My first touch with the Theology of the Body was actually a first touch with Mary. It was Mary's touch, and Our Lady of Fatima plays a role here. Back in 1986, way back in the day, my parents had just divorced, and my father, through that whole tragedy of the family falling apart, refound his faith, and Our Lady of Fatima became a key figure in that. In fact, my brother, father, and myself made a pilgrimage to Fatima, and it was an incredible experience. And a year later, 1986, we're in a Catholic bookstore at a shrine of Our Lady of Fatima, when my hands fall on the freshly published Catechesis, the Theology of the Body by St. John Paul II.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a book that the Daughters of St. Paul had put out a few copies of those audiences John Paul was delivering from 1979 to 1984. And this one was called Original Unity of Man and Woman, Reflections on the Book of Genesis. And I'm coming from the divorce of my parents, and my eye goes right to this original unity of man and woman. And I'm 16 years old. I'm looking through this book, and I'm like, wow. He's talking about the beauty of the body in the beginning, God's call to communion, this spousal meaning that's inscribed in us as male and female, and just how there was a beauty and an innocence in that original call. So, you know, it really struck a chord in me. It got very philosophical and theological when I was 16 years old, so I didn't finish the entire reading of TOB, but I'll tell you, that was the first notes of the Song of Songs that has literally been playing in my heart since those first reads in 1980s. Then, many years later, I heard Christopher West, who's now become such a great friend and a colleague,
right,
teaching Theology of the Body. And it was around the year 2000 that I kind of re-entered in to the actual text and shared it with friends. A friend of mine who's a businessman said, we got to make an institute. We got to teach this. And he contacted Christopher West. They formed the Theology of the Body Institute in 2004, called me up, and I became a speaker for the Institute in 2005. So I've been with them for coming on 13 years trying to spread TOB. So it's just been a grace of God. And my whole, really my whole faith journey has been imbued with this theology of the body.
Truly a grace of God. Not everybody gets this richness of the faith infused that young as a 16-year-old young man. There are many Catholics, I would say, out there, especially even those who may have grown up under the pontificate of John Paul II, that were not aware that his Wednesday audiences were really chock full, like you said, from 1979 to 1984, of the teaching of theology of the body. It was really a driving force of his pontificate, now St. John Paul II, to really bring forward what it really means to be a man and a woman in our sexuality. And you received that grace at 16. There are a lot of young Catholics from John Paul's pontificate, even Pope Benedict, who might be Sunday Catholics. And then they come into this, they're getting engaged, they're getting married, and they're discovering something new about our faith. Do you find that you're reforming a lot of people and kind of redoing some of what people had in their minds about what our faith informs? Can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And let me just say this too. I can attest certainly that God gave me a singular grace back as a teenager back in 1986. But hearing the word and allowing it to come into our core and shape and form who we are is a process. And I'm still, you know, married 14 years with four children and in the process of trying to integrate this beautiful teaching. So it's a work, right? It's for all of us, right? It's this constant journey deeper into the mystery. But I would say yes, absolutely. I was given the grace to see, and it's a paradigm shift to understand theology of the body. At the core, you're learning that God is not like this rule maker or just lawgiver, but that he is the lover. The theology of the body speaks of the spousal meaning of the body, that we're made to be a gift for one another.
Right.
So, like, everybody needs to hear that. When we hear church today, when many young couples come into the church and they want to get married, the first touch is not often, you know, this divine romance, this great love story, and that they're entering into the Song of Songs with the gift of their body in marriage. We don't often hear that. We just hear regulations, rules, prohibitions, commandments. So absolutely, over the years, I've been with the Institute again. This is my 13th year. We're constantly, ourselves and then others, purifying the vision. Who is God? Who is man? Who is woman? We're always going into these great mysteries because we all struggle with those images. Who is God? Who is man? Who is woman? The theology of the body really gives us this transformative vision, and it goes so much against the cultural image of what it means to be Christian. It's far from just the dutiful person, you know, who doesn't steal or kill and is nice.
Right.
Theology of the body reminds us that we're called to be these, you know, John of the Cross calls it living flames of love. Catherine of Siena says, if you are what you should be, you'll set the whole world ablaze. The TOB shows us that God wants to bring this fire to earth and kindle in it, through the sign of married love and all human relationships, a spark of his own divine love for all of us.
And I, you know, John Paul II and my other hero, Venerable Fulton J. Sheen, seem to go in tandem. I mean, Fulton Sheen wrote Three to Get Married, and we have John Paul II with Theology of the Body. Fulton Sheen said, love is a mutual self-giving that ends in self-recovery. And I think, too, with TOB, we kind of see this whole understanding of self-offering, which is really countercultural to what we're seeing now with all of this Me Too. The culture sort of exploded inward on itself, is eating itself alive. All of the free license that has, you know, been so tantalizing for so many people and kind of a rah-rah has turned ugly and turned into kind of a clamor for something that they can't even figure out what they need for healing. But when we make it something other than a self-offering, our bodies and our expression of love, it becomes something else. It becomes destructive. What are your reflections on everything that's happening now in our culture?
First off, Alexis, you just nailed it on the head. I think when you, theology of the body, it's a rephrasing, a rekindling of what Christianity and Catholicism is at the core, that it's about this gift and that we're called to become a gift. So the self-centeredness, the what's in it for me kind of attitude regarding love and relationships, it's antithetical. It goes against the grain of what the body is actually speaking. So today, you know, we're decades after a sexual revolution that had all these promises, the contraceptive promises of happier marriages and mutual understanding. And contraception, abortion, pornography, all these things. These are the three elephants in the room, by the way, where we were thought we could get the promise of sexual fulfillment and pleasure whenever we wanted, and it would bring joy, but it's a train wreck. And the Me Too movement, the sexual harassment that's happening at all levels of our culture right now, the porn addiction, all of it, it's the withered fruit of this distortion. So there's good intention in some places. There's a lot of hope, I think, now because of so many things collapsing. But if we don't go back to the root of what sex is in God's design, no hashtag campaign, you know, no Golden Globe speech is going to convert that. We've got to go back to God's original plan, the blueprints of human existence that Pope Benedict talks about that are in the family, where sex is not just something we do, but who we are. If we can return to that, we're going to find, you know, authentic masculinity, authentic femininity. We're going to find who we are, and then we'll know what to do next, how to live.
Right. Right. And I think, too, the why behind this whole call on our life is really important. I remember growing up as a young Catholic, and of course, you know what the rules are. You know the rule book, and you're adhering to that. But then there's this discovery, like you had at 16, of, you know, theology of the body and really the unfolding of the understanding, the catechesis around why, you know, because of the divine romance, because how much God loves us and he gave his life for us, and because it's an imitation of his divine love, you know, that there's only one person. And, you know, so I think that, you know, how young do you start this conversation? You know, you're working with churches and bishops and all over the world. How young do you begin to imbue this truth into the young church?
Great question. We get that question quite often. And, you know, I tell people, when do you start teaching theology of the body? I say 6 months old. when you're changing your baby's diapers, you know, and they're like sticking their hand down in their diapers or they're messing around, you start to teach them from the very beginning, you're a gift. You don't have dirty parts. It's not naughty that your body is a gift. You tell young people as they're growing up, you're a gift. You're a gift. Elementary school kids need to hear that. You're a gift. She's a gift. He's a gift. You need to tell young people, start looking at the great dance, the great difference between boys and girls, men and women. Certainly, you'll peel back the layers on your language as young people grow older. But this idea of the beauty and gift of the body has to start washing over them from the very earliest awakening. Because all truth, all knowledge comes to us through our senses, right? That's how God made us to be. It's this tactile experience.
Right.
So we need to know that the world is gift and that the body is the crown of all the gifts. So there's a wonderful program. I have to make a shout out right now. We had a wonderful student go through our institute, Leslie Kuhlman, who founded Rua Woods, R-U-A-H, Rua Woods. And they have just wrapped up a wonderful curriculum that actually teaches theology of the body from kindergarten up to 12th grade.
That's incredible.
Wonderful. Oh, and what they do brilliantly is they use the Caldecott winners, the books, children's literature that's out there, finding themes of theology of the body in those books as they move from kindergarten up to 12th grade. It's a wonderful way to enculturate the teaching. You can't teach theology of the body when your son or daughter just turns 13 for 45 minutes.
It's a whole life experience.
Yeah, right. It's a whole life's conversation.
Well, we are going to take a quick break. I am here on Mary's Touch with Bill Donaghy. He is with the Theology of the Body Institute, and we are going to continue our conversation on Mary's role in theology of the body when we come back. Stay with us.
The Faith and Freedom Minute explores the intersection of our Catholic faith and modern American culture, offering insights to understand and navigate the divide between secular viewpoints and our Catholic principles. Brought to you by the Knights of Columbus, here is Texas State Deputy Douglas Oldmixon.
Archbishop Laurie recently observed that Americans seem to have reached a low point in public discourse, with much goodwill being lost. To see the shouting, the name-calling, the identity politics, and the labeling that is going on makes it almost impossible to search for common ground and to return to values that are very much at the heart of the founding of our country, and to find an ability to bridge our differences where we can and to act for the common good. He cautions us to step back and turn down the rhetoric on all sides of the political spectrum. As Catholics and as Knights of Columbus, we commit to do our part to ensure our assertions are offered with an invitation to respectful dialogue. Will you join us?
This has been the Knights of Columbus Faith and Freedom Minute. To learn more about the effective witness and practical works of the world's largest Catholic family organization, please visit our website at kofc.org. That's kofc.org.
And we're back. I'm Alexis Walkenstein. You're listening to Mary's Touch. And today we're with Bill Donaghy with the Theology of the Body Institute. And I thought we could talk a little bit about Mary's role in theology of the body and how she plays a pivotal role in leading us, in leading sons and daughters of God to really live under the order of heaven the way we are called to be sons and daughters.
Again, I don't think we have enough time in the world, Alexis, to talk about Our Lady. Let me just say this, as an institute, our focus is to do five-day-long retreats. We call them the head and heart immersion in the theology of the body. We take students to a retreat center. We dive deep into John Paul II's catechesis on human love and a divine plan. And TOBInstitute.org is the place to find out about those courses. But the whole week, every week we teach, is surrounded by Our Lady. Honestly, we consecrate everything to her. We have beautiful icons and sacred art of Our Lady. You know, as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, right, we had this original plan of God that we, sadly, it was thwarted by disobedience. But Eve was called to be the mother of all the living. But through that fall, we had this promise of a new Eve. And Mary, Our Lady, is the new Eve. She's the mother of all the living in Christ. So she's the perfectly integrated woman, body and soul. Mary doesn't have any issues with her body or her sexuality the way we do in our fallen world. Mary is that morning star. You know, she's the dawn, mystical rose. And so as an institute, we are constantly consecrating ourselves to her. We can be formed in her. John Paul II dedicated his whole papacy to her, right? Totus tuus.
Right.
He followed Louis de Montfort's way of consecration. It was Mary, he said, who saved him, guided the bullet away from taking his life back in 1981, May 13th. Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, that Mary plays a key role. One of the things we always emphasize to our students who come through our immersion retreats is that we need to have a Marian posture. We need to have Marian receptivity. And that means essentially, like Our Lady of the Annunciation, right? The Lord comes to propose his divine love for us, and Mary says, "Let it be done unto me according to your word." That's Marian receptivity. And if we can imitate Mary that way, literally divine life can be born in us. That's why she plays such a key role in our teaching of TOB.
So beautiful. And I think that when we're talking about TOB, it's important, like you mentioned romance, and you also mentioned just the reverence that, you know, when you're starting TOB from an early age, you know, and you're really integrating, you know, not just having the sex talk in the teenage years, but really integrating the whole person to be really conformed to really this theology of our bodies, you know, conformed to Christ. It does create this reverence in mystery of the other person. And I think, like you said, the root, when we're going to the root, that's going to wash away a lot of the problems that we're seeing in the culture now, where there's such lack of respect and, you know, the Me Too sexual harassment and all of the issues that are coming up in the culture, which are not just symptoms, but they're real problems that the culture is informing the church sometimes. How do we break free from that? I mean, the work that you do is so critical to forming young souls and forming the young church, to also redoing some people who've had mistakes or fallen into the trap of pornography or didn't wait for their husband or wife for marriage and never heard this teaching. And you're doing a lot of, in the Institute, a lot of repair. How do we break free from the worldliness that surrounds us to enter more fully into a lifestyle of TOB?
Great question, a great lead-in. These are the fundamental questions. Right? I just wish that we could proclaim what we're saying right now from the rooftops. We all need a reset. That's the thing. Our culture is just screaming right now. It's so clear. As a human race, mm-hmm. when you have your finger on the pulse of the news, like, we need a reset. The theology of the body, when it was first really started to be unpacked and proclaimed on a wider level, and Christopher West, you know, played such a key role in the mid-90s, he was kind of looked at as, well, you're doing some, like, a sex talk. Is this like a sex education for Catholics thing? Is this, you know, is this just for married people? And it was like, oh, you know, we're hitting our heads against the wall. This is humanity 101.
Humanity 101.
This is what theology of the body is. Every time I teach it, talk on it, I say, we're talking about the art of being human.
Mm.
So to answer your questions there, like, first off, let's all go back. Let's go back to the beginning. What does it mean to be a human person?
Mm.
Integrated body and soul, gifted by God, who is love, to bring love into the visible world. Our vocation is love. John Paul was so clear on that throughout his entire pontificate. The human person exists to be loved and to love. So when you talk about the fallout of our culture right now and all this stuff that's going on,
right,
we have to remember the blueprints. You know, like, we're literally here. In fact, I'm looking on my wall here, Alexis. I have one of my favorite quotes from John Paul, too, if I could read it.
Sure.
Yeah, we're good. Okay. For me, this comes from his letter, Familiaris Consortio, section 11. And it's just like, boom, this is literally the signature phrase of his entire pontificate. He said, God created man in his own image and likeness. Calling him to existence through love, he called him at the same time for love. God is love. And in himself, he lives a mystery of personal loving communion. Okay, now that's God. Now we move on. Creating the human race in his own image and continually keeping it in being, God inscribed in the humanity of man and woman the vocation of love and communion. Love is the innate vocation of every human being.
Every human being, yeah.
Literally, this is beyond the Catholic Church. This isn't something just for married people in the Catholic Church. This is the human story. And if we knew that love was the vocation of every human being, not lust, then we have what you just alluded to earlier, reverence. If you realize every human being is called to be loved and never used, you know, goodbye culture of death, hello culture of life.
Right.
This theology of the body can be lived the second I walk out of the office, the second you walk into the department store, you walk home.
Right.
You're looking around, you're seeing these immortal, everlasting splendors God has made, and you can say, like, I'm called to love, never use. That's what the TOB boils down to. You're called to be loved, never used.
Praise God. And it's interesting to see, as we form the church in that way, the spillover into the world, because we can't avoid the world. We're in the world and not of the world. So in our regular secular jobs, in our, you know, all the foot traffic, like you just mentioned, wherever we go to bring that presence out into the world is very powerful.
It is, you know, and again, it also teaches us about the new evangelization, doesn't it? That maybe it's not going to some old apologetics tracks or, you know, arguing. John Paul II says, we're not here to win arguments, but to win souls. And that happens through this reverence, this sense of wonder. Pope Francis had a great line in one of his writings. He says, we should remove our sandals before the sacred ground of the other.
Mm.
He didn't say the Catholic other or the one in the state of grace or the one who's nice to us.
Right.
He said, if someone has reverence or a sense of wonder or joy, it's attractive. I'm drawn to them, and I feel dignified myself. I'm like, wow.
Right.
You know, this person looked at me. They smiled. They listened to me. They were attentive to me. That's where TOB starts. It's like an attentiveness
right.
to the beauty of the other person.
I want to talk a little bit about RISE, the 30-Day Challenge for Men program that you are co-authored with Chris Stefanik, who's also an amazing warrior evangelist out there. Tell our audience a little bit about how can people do this challenge? What is it?
Yeah, so better part of a year ago, I guess last summer, I was with a friend of mine, Chris Cope, who's with Cardinal Studios, fantastic Catholic husband and father, filmmaker. Chris Cope, and we're talking about, we want to do something for men. We've got to do something for men. We've got to build each other up. We've got to build up men. This was months, of course, before this whole collapse in the culture. So it's God's providence. Reached out to Chris Stefanik, and we said, let's do this. We're going to do a 30-day challenge to inspire and reinvigorate men in two things, their identity and their vocation. So RISE, and the website is menriseup.org. You jump on, you subscribe, and you get dripped out every day a little couple-minute video from Stefanik on a theme, and then written content that I put together, a quote and a challenge, unique to everybody's life, single, married, divorced, married with kids at home, empty nester, and the challenge suits you. You have to find your identity. We walk them through 30 days of a man's identity, first as a son, gifted with life, right? Brother, called into a common humanity in the family and beyond. Then we meditate in the third week, and right now we're in our first wave of RISE. We're in the week right now of spouse. So meditating on man's call towards communion with the mystery of femininity, so spousal identity. And then fatherhood is the crowning piece. Fatherhood, that really every man, single, married, celibate, is called to a kind of deep fatherhood, a spiritual fatherhood and stewardship of the family. So the 30-day challenge, menriseup.org, it's undergirded by theology of the body. It's practical. And the community that's been building, I mean, we're in the thousands now of guys from all over the country and the world who are doing this walk together. It's phenomenal. It's been really blessed by God, and the timing couldn't be better.
Yeah, it's like a precursor to all the avalanche of what's happening. Do these men, is it a community where they can interact with each other, or is it really just like a web-based, they're just getting fed content?
Yeah, no, it is. It's interactive. So you will individually sign up at menriseup.org. You click in and you get it dripped out every day through your email. So you can jump on your computer and look at it, your phone even.
Mm-hmm.
And then built in is the comment section. So it's like a private sort of closed Facebook group, if you will. So the men, and this has blown up, like they are praying for each other. They're sharing stories.
That's powerful.
Kids from 19-year-old kids up to senior citizens in their 70s, priests, deacons, married, divorced. We've just been overwhelmed. And then we also encourage, this is a platform, right? It's a digital platform, but there's a parish leadership guide we created so that men's groups in the parishes can talk about it, talk it up, take the challenge, and then meet maybe once a week or so and talk about, okay, what struck you this week? What's inspiring? What's challenging you? So it's a little bit of both, the personal walk and then the grouping together. Every guy as well is encouraged to find an accountability brother. So I'm literally, Alexis, walking through this challenge with my father, who's up in Maine in his 70s.
That is fantastic.
And, we are hitting like a whole new level of just sharing our walk and our faith. And it's just what we need. It's the reset for Catholic men.
That is amazing. Okay, could you say the website one more time for our listeners?
Sure. So menriseup.org.
Menriseup.org. So guys, you've got to get involved in this community. It's powerful. We really need to build the men up today. I feel like the men have so much coming against them, and we really need to build up the guys. And what you're doing is just tremendous. If people want to bring you to a parish, a diocese, how do they get in touch with you, Bill? Because you've got so much to share on multiple fronts, from theology of the body to what you're doing with men, family life, everything. How do we get in touch with you if folks want to bring you?
Sure, and I would love to just, I want to be a servant of the gospel. John Paul II has ruined me for life. So woe to me if I don't
too.
Preach the gospel. people can jump on social media, certainly, at Bill Donaghy, D-O-N-A-G-H-Y. TOBInstitute.org is the Theology of the Body Institute, TOBInstitute.org. And, of course, you can find more contact info at menriseup.org.
Fantastic. And then for the Institute, we didn't really dive in too much. I mean, we know that John Paul II has done so much with all of his body of work. And then there's an actual Institute. I just want to emphasize that, an actual Institute where people can go to get to just soak up all of this teaching and be ministered to. So whether it's you're engaged and you're embarking on your vocation, or you want to prepare for that to be the best husband or wife you could be whenever God sends you that spouse, or if you need to repair things in your life that have been sexually wounded or other wounds, they can come, right?
Yes, we have, over these 13 years, we've had literally every walk of life, from college students all the way up, every vocation. And I mean, 5 days in the classroom studying TOB, and our classrooms are also chapels. The presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament is there for the 30 lecture hours.
Mm.
So if anything, you get 30 hours of adoration during the week. But what we see is this transformation, really just edification, transformation in the teaching. It's a head and heart immersion, we call it, at the Institute.
That's fantastic. Bill Donaghy was my guest. He's with the Theology of the Body Institute. I'm Alexis Walkenstein with Mary's Touch. I want to thank everyone for joining us. God love you. God bless you.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.